All right, so we're diving into time series forecasting today. I know you want to get a handle on this multivariate profit model, so we've got slides, notes, a quiz, even some real code output.
Sounds like we're ready to forecast.
Yeah, we're going deep. So how do we make all this stuff really click for you? The goal is to actually use it, not just understand it, right?
Right. Well, first, I think it helps to think about why time series forecasting is so valuable. Imagine predicting stock prices or maybe anticipating energy demands, even forecasting like patient admissions in a hospital. Tons of applications.
Okay, so we see the why, but before we even touch that profit model, what about backtesting?
Oh, backtesting is key.
That's a test run,
Right.
using old data to see how your model would have done.
Yeah, a great analogy. And the slides actually show this perfectly with that Traintest forecast split. We're basically giving our model some practice on past data so we can evaluate its accuracy. Can we trust it?
So it's about building confidence before we actually, try to predict the future.
Exactly. And the size of your testing window, it should actually mirror your forecasting horizon. So if you're forecasting a month ahead, your testing window, well, it should also be a month long. Make sure you're evaluating performance under, well, similar conditions.
Makes sense. Now, speaking of evaluation, how do we measure how off our predictions might be? How wrong could we be?
Ah, forecasting errors. There are a bunch of ways to measure
The
this.
slides actually list a whole bunch of error metrics: MAE, RMSE, MAPE. It's a bit overwhelming.
There are a lot, it's true, but each one has its own strengths and weaknesses, right? Depends on your data, your goals. Like if you're forecasting inventory where proportional accuracy is super important, well, you'll want to look at that MAPE closely.
Okay.
But if you're more concerned about like the magnitude of the errors, RMSE might be better.
So choosing the right metric is key to getting a clear picture of how well the model is performing.
Absolutely, it's about the right tool for the job.
Now, I know you're excited about multivariate models, and I am too. So what extra insights do we get by adding those extra variables?
Excellent point. While univariate models just focus on the history of the target variable, multivariate models, well, they use extra explanatory variables, those regressors.
So instead of just using past temperature data to predict the future temperature, we could add in things like humidity or wind speed, even precipitation, see if those factors influence the forecast.
Exactly. And that's where it gets really interesting. By bringing in these extra variables, we can often capture more complex relationships and potentially get more accurate
That's
predictions.
like adding another dimension.
Precisely. And speaking of adding dimensions, let's bring in the star, the profit model developed by Facebook.
From what I see in the slides, profit seems really powerful. It's designed for time series data and handles all those complexities like trends, seasonality, even holidays.
Yeah, one of the things that makes profit so powerful is, well, it can break down a time series into its core components. The trend, seasonality, and holiday effects. And the slides have a great visual of this decomposition.
I'm impressed by how it handles those nonlinear trends.
Yes, and it's very robust. Missing data, outliers, trend shifts. Profit handles it all.
Okay, now this is getting interesting. We have code output here showing how to create a Flex dashboard. It visualizes the results of a profit model applied to temperature and humidity data in CoUNS.
Oh, it's fantastic. Imagine applying this to your own data, getting those beautiful visualizations.
And it's available in both R and Python, which is great for accessibility.
Flexibility is key, but as powerful as profit is, we gotta acknowledge the challenges of multivariate forecasting. Mainly, we need future values of those explanatory variables to predict, but those are usually unknown.
That's the million-dollar question. How can we know the future?
And that's where ex post and ex ante forecasting errors come in.
Okay, I'm struggling a bit with that. Can you walk me through an example?
Sure. Let's say we're trying to predict ice cream sales using temperature as a variable.
Okay, I love ice cream, so I'm with you.
Great. So with ex post errors, we're kind of cheating. We're using the actual future temperature data to evaluate our model. It gives us like a best case scenario, but it's not realistic.
Right, because we wouldn't have that future data.
Exactly. So that's where ex ante errors come in. We use forecasted values for the explanatory variables, which is much more realistic.
So ex ante errors give a more realistic view of how the model would actually perform.
You got it.
Are you saying we need to consider both ex post and ex ante errors when evaluating multivariate models?
Exactly. Ex post is optimistic. Ex ante is more grounded.
All right, we covered a lot. Backtesting, error metrics, even knowing the future. What's next?
Let's focus on profit itself. Delve into its inner workings. You'll be amazed by how elegant and powerful it is.
Okay, so we've laid the groundwork with backtesting and those different error metrics. Now I'm ready to dig into Prophet itself. What makes it tick?
Well, one of the things that makes Prophet so powerful is how it decomposes a time series. Think of it like taking apart a clock, seeing all those gears working together.
Okay, I'm intrigued. The slides mentioned this, but I wasn't quite sure what it meant.
Basically, Prophet breaks the time series into, well, three main components. The overall growth trend, any recurring seasonal patterns, and the impact of, you know, holidays.
So the growth component would capture whether, say, ice cream sales are generally increasing year over year.
Exactly. And Prophet can model both linear and non-linear trends. So maybe sales are growing slowly at first, then they take off.
I see. That makes sense. And then seasonality would be like that predictable summer rush when everyone's craving a cone.
Exactly. Prophet can actually handle all sorts of seasonal patterns, whether it's that yearly ice cream spike, weekly changes in website traffic, or even daily peaks in, you know, restaurant orders.
Wow, it can handle all that. This Prophet's sounding pretty smart. What about like a random heat wave in spring that throws off the usual pattern? Can it deal with that?
It's actually surprisingly good at those outliers, you know, those unexpected shifts in the data. Remember how we talked about its robustness?
Right. So it doesn't just follow the trend blindly. It adapts.
Exactly. And then the third component is, well, holidays. Those can really impact a lot of time series. Like imagine trying to forecast retail sales without considering, you know, the holiday shopping season.
Yeah, that's a good point. You wouldn't want to be caught off guard with too little inventory, you know, during the biggest sales period.
Yeah.
So can we just tell Prophet, hey, watch out for Christmas?
Exactly. You give it a list of holidays or special events, and it automatically adjusts the forecast.
This is way more sophisticated than I thought. It's like Prophet understands how the world works, you know, those predictable patterns, those special occasions.
It's pretty elegant in its approach. And the slides, they actually show a nice visual of this decomposition. You really see how everything fits together.
That visual really helps.
Mm-hmm.
So with all this going on, does that mean we can just sit back and let Prophet do its thing? No more manual tweaking?
Well, while Prophet definitely takes a lot of the guesswork out of time series forecasting, you know it's not entirely hands-off. You still got to make decisions about how to configure it, like setting those seasonality parameters and deciding which regressors to include, especially in a multivariate model.
Right, because we're talking multivariate here, those extra variables. Does that mean backtesting is even more important?
Absolutely. It's even more crucial with multivariate models. We're predicting the future values of multiple variables, which adds, well, another layer of complexity.
And we have to be extra careful with those ex post and ex ante errors, right?
Yeah.
Using forecasted values for the explanatory variables, that gives us a much more realistic picture.
Precisely. It's recognizing that we're dealing with, well, a chain of predictions, each with its own uncertainties.
Okay, so backtesting is key here. Now, something that really stood out in the code output, the Flex dashboard. It seems like such a cool way to visualize these forecasts.
It's a fantastic tool. The code actually shows how to create a Flex dashboard to visualize temperature and humidity data for CONUS. Imagine having these dashboards for your own forecasts. You could explore different scenarios, you know, drill down into specific periods.
I'm getting excited just thinking about it. And it's all in R, so I can integrate it with what I'm already doing.
And remember, Prophet's also available in Python, so you have options.
Okay, so we have this powerful Prophet model. It can decompose time series, handle all this complexity, even make cool visualizations. What's not to love?
Well, like any model, it's not a perfect crystal ball, right? We got to be mindful of its limitations and, you know, understand that forecasts always have some uncertainty.
Right, nothing can predict the future perfectly.
Yeah.
But it seems like Prophet gives us a really solid starting point.
Exactly. And the more we understand its inner workings and how to evaluate its performance, the better we can use it to, well, make informed decisions.
So where do we go from here? We've got the what and the how, but how do we actually use it?
That's a great question, and it's what we'll look at next. The resources you have, they include some R code and instructions. They'll walk you through building and evaluating your own Prophet models.
Perfect. I'm ready to get my hands dirty with some real forecasting.
Excellent. And remember, the journey doesn't stop there. When you're working with Prophet, dive deeper into the documentation, you know, explore different customization options, keep learning from the community.
This is really cool. It feels like we've just scratched the surface of what's possible.
You're right. As you go deeper, you'll find so many exciting applications and possibilities.
I can't wait to see where this forecasting journey takes us. But before we jump into the practical stuff, it's probably time to wrap up our dive into the concepts behind profit.
Okay, so we've explored profit, backtesting, error metrics, even making those cool visualizations. But now I'm thinking, where does the human element fit into all this?
Oh, that's such an important point. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the algorithms, the code, and forget that, well, there's a human side to forecasting. You're saying even the fanciest model is just a tool, right?
Exactly. It's up to us, the humans, to interpret the forecasts, to understand the numbers, and ultimately to make those decisions.
So it's not just about spitting out predictions. There's judgment involved.
Yeah.
Human expertise.
Absolutely. We need to understand the context, right? Think about potential biases, maybe limitations of the model, and be ready to adapt as well as new information comes in.
That makes sense. The future isn't fixed. It's always changing. We need to be flexible.
Exactly. And that's what makes this so interesting, time series forecasting. It's about understanding patterns and anticipating trends. It's about making smart decisions when there's uncertainty.
Like we're detectives looking for clues from the past to, you know, see what the future might hold.
I like that. And like any good detective, we got to be critical thinkers, always questioning those assumptions, looking for, well, maybe hidden patterns.
I think we've given our listener a great foundation in time series forecasting. We've covered what it is, why it matters, how to use something like the multivariate profit model to actually generate those predictions.
We talked about the importance of backtesting, right?
Yeah.
Understanding those different error metrics and those ex post and ex ante scenarios, especially in multivariate forecasting.
But even more than just the technical stuff, we've emphasized that human element, critical thinking, judgment, all that goes into making a good forecast.
It's combining these powerful models with, well, human expertise.
Now, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave the listener with something to think about. We talked about the technical side, the human side, but what about the real-world impact? What happens when we actually use these forecasts?
That's a great question. Forecasting has the potential to change so many things, right? From business decisions to, you know, resource allocation, even public policy. We really need to consider what our forecasts might do, how they could influence the world.
With great power comes great responsibility, as they say.
Exactly. As we develop more sophisticated models, we have to think about how they're used. Make sure they're used ethically, responsibly.
Well said. So time series forecasting, it's more than just tools and techniques, right? It's a way of thinking about the future, understanding the world, and you know, shaping the decisions we make.
I couldn't agree more. It's such a fascinating field, so many possibilities. I encourage you to keep exploring, keep learning, see what you can do.
I'm definitely inspired to keep going. And remember, the resources we have, including that R code, those instructions, it's all a great starting point for your own forecasting.
Don't be afraid to, well, get your hands dirty, experiment, learn by doing. And the forecasting community, it's really supportive. Everyone's willing to share, help each other out.
That's what's great about this field, that sense of community. Like, we're all on this journey together, exploring the future, trying to make sense of it all.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's time to wrap up. It's been great diving deep into time series forecasting with you.
And thank you to our listener for joining us. We hope you've learned a lot and feel ready to, you know, start forecasting your own future.
Yeah.
Until next time.